Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. From Jeremiah. What does that mean? How does it apply to your life? If it even does, that's what we'll explore today. Welcome to the Sunday service. So Jeremiah spoke to the Israelites who were exiled in Babylon, encouraging them to invest in their immediate surroundings, despite being in a place they didn't want to be. It's a message of making the best of the situation and working towards the common good for everyone, even when the broader circumstances aren't ideal. So in the face of being somewhere you don't want to be, collectively, Jeremiah is saying, do everything that you can as an individual to make this as good a place as possible. And if you do that, it's going to work out. Versus turn to cynicism, turn to apathy, turn to working to extract all the resources you can for yourself and your loved ones, your family. Because if everybody does that, it's going to be crap. It's not going to work. The whole enterprise is going to fail. And where else can we see that showing up? I see it showing up everywhere. I spend an immense, enormous amount of time thinking about this kind of thing. And I think you can sum it up between disconnect between mission and membership. So the way that something was conceived of and originally constructed, however long originally in the past, and then we have new people coming into this program all the time. Are we honoring the original mission? Are we honoring what the point of the whole thing is? Or have we made the shift to simply looking to extract resources based on our self-interest and for ourselves because we view things as a zero-sum game, so I'm going to get mine. You should try and get yours before this whole thing collapses. And it seems pretty obvious to me that when we get to that point, everything's over. It's kind of effed at that point. So that's what I wanted to talk about today, because I see it, again, happening all over the place. I mean, any organization should have great mission values and a noble purpose while at the same time harboring individuals who don't align with those principles. This disconnect's more common than you might think. So I think that when you just try to break this thing down, you can look at the scale and complexity as an opportunity, but more so really a challenge. As an organization grows, keeping consistent values is really hard. It starts small, mission-driven group of people that come together to make a big change, to do something that's really hard, and it evolves into this vast network of local branches or offices which are developing their own subcultures. I had this experience with a very, very large financial company that I went to work with. And I think at its core, the company itself was good and very much aligned with what I've just described. But you have this really basic human system where people get into it and they start to make their own subcultures. And if one is not careful, it becomes very, very, very detrimental. And the signal, the script gets lost. And then all of a sudden, the cultures of the local organization are not anywhere close to being what the original intent of it was. And I'm sure that you've had this experience too. And if you have, I'm sorry. But it was so bad for me that I moved on. In fact, I moved on two times, but that's a story for another day. So it's a very superhuman thing. And when I say superhuman, I just mean that it's just such a human thing to do, because even with the best of intentions during your recruitment and your training and your development process, organizations inevitably end up with people who do not fully align with mission. And it happens because of mistakes or cultural shifts or just natural diversity of human motivation and human character. And if you get a couple of influential leaders who are opposite or contrary to the core values, well, that's going to have an impact. The person at the top of the local office, the local organization, maybe it's a salesperson who's crushing it, but they're doing it in a way that is unethical, and that's just going to have an impact on the other people. It's going to trickle down, or it's just going to have an impact, and it's going to be a negative impact. And when there's enough people within an organization who are operating outside of that mission, even the whole organization can change. The core mission may remain, but the daily experiences of the employees, a totally different thing. And when this happens enough, too many people drift away from those core values, the organization itself definitely changes. The mission statement, still on the wall, it's still on the website, but the actual experience that we have on the day-to-days, at some point, the weight of the bad actors overshadows the original purpose. So again, the script is totally lost. And then you have a crisis of trust. This pattern plays out on a larger scale with institutions like the federal government, healthcare, education, media. As I'm having this conversation, literally today, a new pope was picked or selected or whatever. I'm not Catholic. I understand a little bit about the process. I understand a little bit about the Catholic Church. And that's a very human system, same as Congress, same as all of these, same as the financial company. These are large human systems. People lose trust. And it's not because of the mission change, but it's because they encountered too many people or instances that contradict the stated purpose. Like, it says this, you're saying this, but what you're doing is opposite, sometimes completely. Interesting. Certainly there's lots of negative byproducts, but losing trust is a big part of it. Even though I went through the experience of losing trust with this big financial company, I don't look at it and say that's a bad company. I say that I fully agreed with the mission and the values of it. Just recognized that there were, in my example, two different local offices that had gone astray. But I'm able, or at least I'm hopeful, that it wasn't such a, what's the term that I'm searching for, a chronic, unsolvable problem. I try to do that, but I don't know that it's necessarily possible. So the challenge for leaders when you're inside of an organization like that is to root out the misalignment, especially when it does become to manifest and you see bad actors infecting other people within the organization. It's such a hard thing. So I think that one of the challenges is it's trying to figure out, or something that I've been trying to figure out, is what is the spectrum? If you were just to do a cross-section of an organization, what is the cross-section of people who are extremely self-interested versus people who are altruistic? So I guess it's selfishness and altruism. We'll call that the spectrum of self-interest, because we are going to fall on that spectrum somewhere. And the thing to this is a perfect example of virtue or lack thereof, because we're all self-interested. I am heavily self-interested, but I don't act on the impulses. I don't act on the self interest impulse very often. Certainly never professionally. My work is designed to, I'm interested in doing well by doing good. I'm interested in making money. I'm interested in accumulating assets. I'm interested in having a great life and a great lifestyle, but I'm disinterested in doing that at the cost of somebody else. Are there opportunities for me to cut corners and act more my self-interest? Well, of course, there's opportunities to do that every day. But do I take them? No. And I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But when we find ourselves compromising our own values and operating more in our self-interest at the expense of our stated mission or what it is that we say that we're doing, that's when things break. That's when it doesn't work. So I think that sometimes people act altruistically, but with a self-serving motive, like donating to charity to feel good about themselves. So we'll call that egoistic altruism. That probably works. Then there's people who are typically altruistic, who act selfishly when resources are scarce or when they feel that they're threatened. So situational selfishness. So that's certainly true. We have evolved, human beings, with both selfish and cooperative tendencies because both are advantageous for survival. Richard Dawkins wrote a book called The Selfish Gene, where he argued that humans are inherently selfish because genes that promote self-preservation tend to survive. So if we are selecting for, if the people who are surviving and passing on their genes are more self-interested, then more self-interested people will be born. I think that that makes sense. But there's also group selection. We have evolved to cooperate within groups because collective effort improves survival chances. It's the reason we live in cities and stuff like that, and just all the things. That's what society is. That's what the social contract is. So we have to cooperate and act reciprocally if anything is going to work.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
There have been a lot of studies, and this is I find this to be really fascinating and not surprising at all. It suggests that around 20 to 30%, so let's just go with the Pareto distribution and say 20% of people consistently act altruistically. That's one end. And then on the other end, 20% act selfishly. So there's 40, so call 60, because the rest, 40 to 60%, are conditional cooperators. So they act in their own interest or cooperate depending on the norms, the social pressure, and perceived fairness. So there's your movable middle right there. 20% of people act altruistically most of the time, 20% act selfishly most of the time, and then there's the 60% who are conditional cooperators. It's a great term. I think it's really interesting. So there's certainly cultural and environmental factors at work that significantly impact whether or not people act selfishly or altruistically. In more collectivist societies like Japan, people are more likely to act in the group's benefits. Here in the United States, we are an individualistic society that's come together to operate alongside of ourselves and cooperate, but personal success is prioritized over the groups. So You're going to have different scenarios play out. Certainly, economic inequality is something that plays into this. When there's a lot of inequality, it leads to increased selfishness because people feel the need to secure their own position. When you have a strong leader in an environment where a strong leader demonstrates selfish behavior, like greed or corruption, that's going to normalize actions among employees. So in the corporate world, in business, where success is measured purely by individual achievements, selfish behavior is more prevalent. In countries with high social trust, there's more cooperative behavior. So why does that matter? Well, when a critical mass of selfish actors infiltrates an organization, it shifts the entire culture of that organization. If people perceive that selfish behavior is rewarded or just goes unchecked, then those people who are typically cooperative, that 60%, they begin to act selfishly to protect their own interests. So are most people selfish? Well, not inherently. Most people are conditional cooperators. They'll act altruistically if they see others doing the same, and they feel like that's the norm. So 20% selfish, 20% altruistic, 60% conditional cooperators. But in environments where selfishness and selfishness is high, trust is low, people are going to default to self-preservation. So again, the predator distribution, we talked about that. It's 80% of the results are going to be driven by 20% of the inputs. 80% of a company's profits come from 20% of its clients. 80% of the world's wealth is held by 20% of the population. So that is how that goes. In many organizations or social systems, 20% of individuals may exhibit consistently selfish behaviors, but their input or their actions can be disproportionately felt and impact the entire group, which I've been talking about. So I think it's a really interesting thing, and it's fascinating. The predator distribution, I think, is so fascinating because it shows up absolutely everywhere. It shows up just all over the place. So when this does happen, what do you do about it? What do you do about it? I can't help but think that this is what's going on in the United States Congress. I just can't help it. And it seems just pretty obvious to me that everything that I've been laying out from the negative is, in fact, happening. So if you say that 20% of the members are selfish, which predator distribution suggests is the case, so why would I think that that's any other way? So they're rising through the ranks, gaining power and influence, while at the same time engaging in unethical behavior. More people in that middle 60 will follow their lead and also potentially act unethically. It's a Pareto-fueled cultural shift. So let's walk through it. 535 total members of Congress, 435 in the House, 100 in the Senate. So 20% or 107 members are consistently self-serving, driven by personal gain, power, re-election, wealth, status. Sounds right. Those people are going to prioritize their donors over their constituents. Obviously, they're going to obstruct legislation for strategic or theatrical reasons, clearly. They're going to exploit loopholes using insider knowledge for personal gain. Yep. They're going to stir division or misinformation for influence. Check. So, if those 107 members are loud, visible, or in leadership roles, they punch way above their weight. So we have our public perception of Congress. There's the internal culture of what's rewarded versus punished. There's norms of acceptable behavior because Congress is a status-oriented body. People naturally look up to see what's working. So how'd that person rise so quickly? Well, if they break the rules and still win, maybe that's something I should do too. You can do that? Wow. Why? This is commonplace. I'm going to get mine too. So then you have your middle, your conditional cooperators, 321 members of Congress. Our behavior is shaped by incentives. So if unethical members are rewarded, committee appointments, chairs, media attention, the incentive to play the game grows. Peer modeling is a very real thing. If rule bending becomes normalized, resistance weakens. There's a survival instinct that says, I've got to adopt similar tactics to stay relevant or be reelected. So what happens? A quiet and slow erosion, sometimes really loud and fast, erosion of ethics, a decline in bipartisan cooperation, the justification of ends over means, everybody else is doing it, and then we're left with the 20% ethical core, the altruistic, idealistic, ethical members, 107 members. These are people that really, truly care about constituents and their country. They're working behind the scenes, pushing for transparency. They resist the tide, but they are swimming upstream for sure against the current. Without visible support, this group may burn out, exit because they voluntarily stop doing it, or they lose elections to flashier candidates. They become disillusioned. What's the result? Institutional distrust. As the 20% of the bad actors dominate headlines and the middle 60 begins to mirror them, public trust nosedives. They're all corrupt. Institutional legitimacy is questioned. The mission of government becomes clouded by cynicism. The entire institution, though founded on noble ideals, begins to rot from within. Not because of one villain, but because the balance of influence shifted over time. God, what do we do? Can this be reversed? Yeah, but it takes intentional reinforcement of ethical behavior. Got to elevate and celebrate the 20% that are good, that are altruistic. Got to set and reinforce real consequences for bad behavior. There must be consequences. If there are no consequences, nothing will change. Have to incentivize reform. Campaign finance, transparency, term limits, for God's sakes. Got to foster a culture of virtue. Is real, not just for show. So, this fictional Congress, fictional. It's a parable for any institution, the church, schools, businesses, nonprofits, anything. When the wrong people are elevated, the majority adapts. The whole system starts to resemble the worst of its parts. Yep. We need to bring people back to optimism, giving them agency, take action in the face of creeping cynicism. I like to talk about how we have to tend to the parts of our garden that we can reach. Because me looking at Congress, thinking these thoughts can be very, very demotivating. It can cause me to become very cynical. And I don't want that. I don't want to feel like our elected officials what I really want, because I love the United States. I love America. And I don't want to feel like it's been corrupted. I don't want to feel like the promise of the country is lost. That would be really a sad thing. So I don't want that. But here's the truth. The system isn't broken. The ideals aren't flawed. The mission hasn't failed. Too many places the wrong people have risen to power. Self-serving individuals, maybe 20%, have gained influence by playing a selfish game. They chase power, money, attention, not service. And in doing so, they erode our institutions from the inside. Here's the part we shouldn't forget, that they are not the whole. They're just the loudest. There are still a lot of people, many people who care deeply, who believe in the Constitution, in community, in fairness, in hard work, in being of service, and maybe that includes you. So I want to say this as clear as I can. Don't give up. Don't tune out. Don't let a few bad actors make you cynical about the whole deal. If you're unhappy with the direction of the country, start with your corner of it. We can go clean up our local park on Saturday morning. Join a neighborhood council or school board. Run for something. Support someone who stands for something. Volunteer, mentor, vote, show up. Because when you do, something powerful happens. You remember the United States is not, it's not its institutions alone. It's not just DC. It's not the headlines. It's us. It's you and I, the people who get up every day and decide to care. You don't have to fix the whole country. You just have to tend to the part of your garden that you can reach. This is how you keep hope alive. This is how you fight cynicism. That's how we rebuild from the soil up. If it's to be, it is up to me. My brothers and my sisters. Promise is still alive. We need to exercise our power as altruistic people, as the 20% who are altruistic, who are doing the right things, who believe in the promise of the country and all of our institutions. You can bring them back. It starts with us. It starts with you. As always, do your part by doing your best.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.